In 1944, there were two psychologists named Fritz Heider and Marion Simmel. Fritz Heider and Marion Simmel. And they conducted a very famous experiment. They created a short animated video, which I'm about to show you. And then they asked their students, about 120 people, to describe what they just saw. So I'm going to cue up the video right now. I want you to see the video that they made. And I want you to describe in a minute what you just saw. When Heider and Simmel did this experiment, let's do the math, 80 years ago, only three students said something to the effect of, I saw three geometric shapes moving around a black or a blank background. 120 students, only three said, I just saw shapes moving along a blank background. Everyone else, 117 of the 120, they saw a story unfolding. They saw a little soap opera, maybe of like two lovers trying to hide from like their dad, right? The dad figure was maybe represented by the big triangle. That's what they saw. They saw this like, you know, two teenagers like trying to fall in love and get away and, you know, get eloped. Others saw a tragedy of domestic abuse, maybe a kid sort of trapped in the room and trying to hide from like an abusive parent. But again, 117 of 120, when they saw that, they didn't see just shapes, they saw story. And the point that this experiment makes is how much we human beings make sense of the world around us through the use of story. That we see things sort of like through a storytelling lens. In his TED Talk, author and English professor Jonathan Gottschall goes so far as to say that human beings are storytelling animals. That the thing that sets us apart from other creatures on this planet is not our intelligence, it's not our inventiveness, but it's our capacity to make sense of the world through the use of story. We are, he says, storytelling animals. And he'll go on to say that storytelling is part of, like, there's an evolutionary explanation for the reason why we use why we tell stories. I personally happen to think that we are storytelling creatures because we're made in the image of a storytelling God. But the point remains this. We all make sense of the world through the use of story. But it's not just the world out there that we sort of use story to make this, like, make sense of things using story. We even use story to make sense of our own lives. Like, when I ask you to tell me about yourself, or you ask me to tell you about myself, we don't ever really use stats to describe ourselves, do we? I mean, you've been asked this a lot. A lot of you in the class of 27, or if you're a transfer student, you went through an orientation and you had to do lots of icebreaker games and really sort of ask questions like, yeah, tell me about yourself. But you're not saying 6'1", brown eyes, you know, blonde hair, 3.7 GPA, National Merit Honor Scholar, or whatever. You don't answer that question that way. Because when we describe ourselves, we don't use stats, we use stories. When you're asked to describe yourself, you might say something like I would have said, like, I grew up in Virginia. My mom and dad moved to Virginia when I was a kid. And I went to a lot of small schools as a child. And then I went to a high school, and it was a big high school, and I was afraid. And I wondered if I was going to make friends there. And now I find myself at a place like this, and it feels familiar, right? Like I'm trying to see if I'm going to make friends in this space. And we answer stories like, or we answer questions like that, right? With the use of story. Because we don't make sense of our lives with stats. We make sense of our lives through stories. And it's not just the world out there that we use stories to make sense of. And it's not just our lives. But we all see ourselves as living as part of a bigger story too. This is sort of the third thing I want you all to just consider with me today. We all see our lives as being part of a bigger story. And everybody does this. It's not just Christians who do this. Atheists, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, all the way down the line, everybody, and I mean everybody, makes sense of their world through story. They see their life as a story, and they see their life contained within a greater story. Everybody does this. Everybody believes in a greater story, even so-called irreligious people. Those who might say, like, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, which is a popular sort of notion here at UVM. It was popular where I did my undergrad at CU Boulder. Lots of folks saying, I'm spiritual, but not religious. But even the irreligious folks, right, see themselves as part of a bigger story. Right? A secular atheist believes that once upon a time, right, which is how a lot of stories begin, but once upon a time, without cause, there was a big bang. Nothing caused or created this, it just happened. And this big bang set off a chaotic chain reaction, right? One cosmic accident after another. It's all random. It's all chance. Here we are on a Wednesday night at the University of Vermont, but our being here is just part of that sort of line of sort of chain reactions, right? We're on this planet Earth, right? Some third rock revolving around some sun. And a lot has happened on this rock since before we got here, and a lot will happen since after we leave. But everything that happens between our coming and going is ultimately meaningless. Nothing we do really matters. Because there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. There's just this life, and you only live once. You might push back on this narrative and say, well, what I'm doing really matters. It really counts. But the secular atheist would reply, you're just imposing meaning where there is none. You're kind of like that student who sees a story when there really isn't a story. It's just geometric shapes moving along a blank background. It's all in your head. Your origin is meaningless. Your destiny is stardust. You are just a random collocation of atoms. So, in the meantime, do whatever makes you feel good. Follow your heart. Maximize your pleasure. Minimize your pain. And write your own script. This story, I imagine, sounds familiar to many of you. It's familiar to me, too, because this is the story that is told over us again and again in our post-Christian culture. But listen, the secular atheist narrative is just that. It's a narrative. It's a story. It's a story that might be the most popular at UVM. But just because it's popular doesn't make it the only story. And just because it's popular doesn't make it true. It's just a popular story. A lot of people buy into it. Baby Shark is the most popular video on YouTube. You know how many views it has? Anyone want to take a guess? Say a number. It is. Alex, have you been watching Baby Shark? Alex, he hit it on the nose. It's probably like a little bit more than that now. But yeah, 10 billion views. It's the most popular video on YouTube. But I've yet to meet somebody who tells me that is the best video on the app, right? It's popular to be sure, but it's not the only video, obviously, and it's not even the best one. The point is this, there are many stories out there, and there are many storytellers. And tonight, I simply want to introduce you to one of them. Though I think Jesus is much more than a storyteller, I want to introduce you to him tonight as that, as someone who shows up on the scene with a story to tell. And I've chosen as our passage tonight the very first words we hear Jesus speak in the Gospel of Mark. Just as an aside, in the Bible it's kind of divided in two. There's an Old Testament and a New. And the first four books in the New Testament are called Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is the first Gospel writer. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, we are introduced to Jesus for the very first time. And the very first thing that we hear Jesus say is this. He says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." It's a word that means good news. Okay, first words and first impressions matter. And it is significant that this is the very first thing Jesus has to say to us. As a thought exercise, you can imagine all the things that Jesus could say, but he says this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. With these words, Jesus is saying, if I could paraphrase, you all have been living in a story. And that story began a long, long time ago. Once upon a time, there was a kingdom here on earth. It's a time and a place when everything was in its right place and it was doing what it was designed to do. This was your beginning, and it was good, and it was beautiful, and it was full of potential. But that good and beautiful world got invaded, and that world broke, and you did too. But the one who created this kingdom and the one who watched it fall, he loves it, and he loves you. And he promised long ago to fix it. And he has reiterated those promises again and again. And now, listen, the time is fulfilled. The ancient promises are coming true. The long-awaited rescuer is here. And the kingdom of God is near to you. So near that you can touch it. So near that you can hear it. This is how we encounter Jesus for the very first time in the Gospel of Mark. He comes to you with a story, and he comes to you with a command. His command is to repent and believe. The word repent gets a bad rap because we often see people using this word ugly, but it's actually a beautiful word. It's a word that simply means to turn around, to change course. If you're living in the wrong story, he's saying stop doing that and start living into the right one. If you've been running from God, repent or turn around means to see his face and to know his embrace. Turn around, he says, and believe. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. Jesus does not show up for the very first time giving good advice. He shows up telling a story and saying, believe in good news. News of things, something that's actually happened and is actually happening with his arrival on the scene. Now, believing this, believing in good news, is much more than believing that a story exists. Believing means live into this. See this story as the story that your life is a part of and lean into it and live into it. If there's a story that makes sense of all of life, including your own, find your part in it. Like, act out your script, the script that's been handed to you, as it were. Seeing this as a story that makes much more of your life, this is a much more immersive experience than just saying, oh, this is something that exists. I think it's also more exciting too. This semester in RUF, what I want to do is I want to walk you through this story that Jesus tells. It's really the story that the Bible tells, and Jesus is very much at the center of it. I believe, and Jesus would agree, and you can make up your mind for yourself, but this story that he has to tell, it really is the story that makes the most sense of your life and all of life here on planet Earth. Because we have 12 weeks this semester and not 12 months, we're going to cheat a little bit. And we're going to use a summary or a guide, kind of a Cliff Notes version of this story. That summary is the Apostles' Creed, which if you look on your handout, it's printed there for you. This is the oldest and most agreed upon summary of the Christian faith. And it's not just a summary of the faith. It's something that every Christian from every denomination has agreed upon across time and space. So that right there, right, this Apostles' Creed, this is really the closest thing that you can get to a crash course on Christianity, sort of like a Christianity 101. So if you've ever wondered, who is Jesus, what does it mean to follow him, and what is at the heart of all Christian teaching, you're looking at it. That is it. And we're going to use that sort of as a guide for the next 12 weeks as we sort of like walk our way through the story that the Bible tells. It's right there, like I said, the Cliff Notes version. What I want you to see tonight, as we kind of wrap things up, I want you to just see it. And as you look at it, maybe as your eyes glance over it, notice this with me, that the creed doesn't just come at us as a bunch of propositions or stats. The creed is telling a story. Do you see that? It's a story that begins in the beginning with a God who makes heaven and earth. And it is a story that ends with everything wrong made right again and life everlasting. And in the middle, at its heart, there's a rescue mission. But it's telling a story. And it's not just telling a story, it's telling his story, which to our ear sounds like history, because it is. His story is history, because it's the story that our life is a part of. It's the story that we find ourselves in, history, or his story, however you want to hear it. And by way of observation, I want you to see the creed not just tells a story, but it begins with these words, I believe, which is the same word Jesus uses in Mark 1:15. Believing this creed, believing this story, is not just believing this exists. That's really so mundane as to almost make it meaningless. Believing the story means I see my life as a part of this. Believing the story means to be living into it, which when you write it out, it's just a one word, or it's just a one letter difference between believing and be living. It's just, you just drop an E. Believing the story means to be living into it. So this semester, we're going to look at the story, but not just in isolation. We're going to look at it next to the most popular narratives out there in our world today. And at the end of the day, I want you to be the judge. Which story does the best job of explaining the world that you woke up in today? Of the stories out there, which makes the most sense of the beauty and the brokenness? Which story makes the most sense of what it means to be human, with all of its frailty and awesomeness? Which story makes the most sense of the great pains that you harbor, as well as any hope that you might have? My hope is that as we do this together, you will grow in faith and hope and love for God and for each other. But I also hope that you grow in joy. I hope that you grow in joy as you discover a story that makes the most sense of your life and that you can fully and finally be living into.